August 19th, 2019, special meeting of the town board on the Universal Playground, 5 p.m.
I know he was traveling today.
Traveling to us.
Well, we'll put him right into the lineup as soon as he comes in.
Yep.
All set? So with that, we'll have a roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Here.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Here.
Councilman Noonan?
Here.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Here. First of all, thanks everyone for being here this evening. The purpose of this workshop is to continue as we have working with the LA group, and we have Lisa McCorkle here who is going to review with us conceptual design we have for the Universal Playground. We're still hopefully on a track to get that completed for the end of this construction season, with the caveat that we know that there will be additional work required for the spray park aspect of the design.
Right.
So with that, we'll let you take
it.
How's
it going?
Yeah. Yeah.
Kyle?
How are you?
Good.
We were just
yeah, I got stuck in traffic on the exit coming up. I don't know why.
Oh, no.
Someone made him.
That's fun. Hello. Welcome back.
You're just like one of ours.
Hi. Is it cooler here than you were in North
Carolina? Tennessee.
A lot of volume passing there right now.
It's really hot.
I was talking that to a guy in Louisiana.
Yeah.
It was really hot.
Exactly. Yeah. Every night the weather would talk about how it was an unprecedented heat wave
for
you. Any day now, there's
a break. Yeah, okay. Not this week.
No,
those are extra.
Okay. Well, this is stuff really early in the morning.
Yes.
I have a 4-year-old, so that's not a problem.
That's true.
So I do have, this is a copy of what's up on the screen, and I do have extras here. Some of them are a smaller format than the others. Okay. All right.
So for timing, I just want to let you know that our goal is to spend about an hour this evening.
Yep.
I know I want to be respectful of everybody's time, so hopefully we can wrap things up.
Absolutely.
Within the hour.
Absolutely. So today what we have is some conceptual designs, sketches of the playground. They are concepts, you know, so they're rough, but I think they're pretty exciting, and they'll show you. We have some architects prepared some 3D images, so you can really kind of get a sense of what it's looking like. So our goal is to go over those, give you some information on. We did some early cost estimating just to see that we're still in the ballpark with phase one, and we can show you what.
Or under budget.
Or and actually, right now I'm pretty close. And confirming what things are in phase one so that we can be under budget. And some of the discussion we'd like to have with the cost is what components will be in what kind of construction category, you know, whether it's an item that's an opportunity for another community work or donation, or what's pieces may need to be bid out or not, and what parts architects can take care of, you know, the whole package. And then we have steps to getting to construction. So what we're hoping to get out of you guys is feedback on whether we're on target with the design. If you can look at this and give us some feedback, whether we have any changes or not, we would proceed to the next step, or whether you feel like you need to get input from others, you know, that we can certainly accommodate that. Just as a refresher, here is the aerial of the entire park. So here's the driveway in, the main driveway in, the back driveway in, the large parking lot in the middle, and our project site is right there, kind of in the center.
Yeah,
that's a close-up of it. So you have ball fields below and above. It's a little bit hard to see. There's the basketball court.
So some of those fields have been cleared out.
Yes. So since this aerial, this center part has been cleared. This view, the photo on the upper left, is there's the pavilion that's about right in there. This is the basketball court, and there's the cleared area behind, and then there's a close-up of the cleared area. Then this is a markup of the old survey. I know you've contracted to get an updated survey.
You know, has anybody reached out to you on that?
No, but I'll follow up with Bill Thompson.
Okay.
And find out what his schedule is. So this older survey actually didn't have the basketball court built at the time the survey was done. So this is just field located by being paced off. So here's the driveway in, the parking, the basketball court, the pavilion, the approximate area that's been cleared already. So then this is all woods around the outside. And then here's the cluster of existing play equipment and various features that are associated with that pavilion there. There's a picture of the parking. Here's from the pavilion into that open area, and then the open area. These pictures are in June, so.
A lot of weeds on there.
I figure. So, what we have first to show you is the full multi-phase build-out, and then we'll show you images of those pieces, and then we have a plan view of the first. What could be included in the first phase. So I'll just orient you, and then I'll have Lior take over. So there's the pavilion. Here's the basketball court. There's an existing kind of dirt driveway. When I was there, people who were using the pavilion pulled up to unload their coolers and stuff and then parked. So we have a new walkway shown from the parking kind of about in that location. And then that's the green is the edge of the tree line. So, Lior, I don't know if you want to go over the process for the components.
Can I just stop
for
a moment?
Absolutely.
So you said it's a walkway. I was under the impression that we were going to actually have parking in close to the handicap or this universal playground. Is that being planned for even this drawing?
Yeah, so we cleared, and I don't know when the last time was you were down there, Lisa, but after Bosie's left, we had a significant amount of space cleared for parking.
Okay.
And basically, if you look at the interior edge of the pavilion, it's straight out in that direction. There's a large area out there for where we'd like to see people park, and there'll be room for additional parking if we wanted to clear more trees going in that direction. So I believe that's northwest.
So you're thinking not to have parking between the pavilion and basketball, like in this area? You're thinking more back behind the pavilion?
No.
Okay.
Will be the north?
Yeah, so...
North of
the
playground area?
Yeah, so it's all, the parking's going to be like in this area up here.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And that way we have room for expansion if we find that we need it for a number of users for that space.
Okay. And so then you would, if you had parking in this area, you would want a pedestrian connection over in this direction.
Correct.
Around the back of the basket.
So I guess in my mind, where you have what you call the walkway, I would have thought that would have been a driveway.
Yeah, so that going to be the entrance area for the parking area,
and
which is already there.
Would you think more than one car wide? Or?
Oh, yeah, it's got to be two cars.
Two cars wide?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which means it's going to encroach on the, is it the volleyball, sand volleyball? Mm-hmm. Is the volleyball net down there?
Well, no, so from what's right there, you have an existing playground on what would be the left side of that walkway, and then the basketball court on the right side, and it's wide enough to put two car driveway in. I'm pretty certain it is. I mean, it was down there on Saturday, just kind of walking it in and checking things out. So right where she's got a walkway coming in from the existing parking lot, there would be plenty of room to put a driveway into there and then kind of come around the end of the basketball court.
So parking, walkway, driveway.
So, yeah, we're looking at it right there. Yeah. So on this right here, we've got the is it basketball or volleyball there?
Yeah, basketball first, and then volleyball up on the other side.
Okay, all right, yeah. So right here, where those parallel lines, that should be a two lane area into the parking area, which is going to be in this area up here where we've cleared it out. Is that?
So it's kind of formalizing how people use it now.
Oh, yeah.
Because I saw
somebody
drive in that area.
Because we want, you know, we don't want people to have to drive, you know, if handicapped people are being dropped off.
Mm-hmm.
We want there to be adequate parking close to, you know, the playground that they're going to be accessing.
So pretty much so that they don't have to cross any roadways to
Correct.
Do it?
Correct. Right?
Yes. It's busy as it gets down here with the softball, the baseball, the soccer, things like that. You hate to have somebody that
everybody going back and forth this way,
restricted the
right?
movement to try to get into this.
Yeah.
Then you want them to be able to park in close to it.
Okay. Well, I think those are things we can come in, right?
Yeah, I mean, Lynn would probably have to just redesign things
because
a lot of times she likes to have the 2 to 5 year old closer to where the parking is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the younger kids. And then obviously the fitness equipment would have to go towards the walkway instead of where the driveway is. But that's pretty easy to do.
Okay.
Especially with the space that you guys have, and like I said, you guys can clear more space out, so that shouldn't be a problem.
Okay. So I don't know which graphic you'd like to use, Lior, to maybe talk about where the different age groups and, you know, what we would...
How's the overall look in there?
We could also turn a light off at that point.
The next slide, the overall?
Yeah, let's see the overall 3D. That's the easiest to see.
Okay.
And that's a little bit small, huh? And like we just said, because of the parking and the driving, things can be rearranged.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, if you look at it, you've got where the walkway is going to be. We're proposing fitness equipment, and this might have to be moved over here because that's where the parking is going to be. This is more of the 2 to 5 year old area here, and then this larger section is more 2 to 5, and then your swings and your climbings are 2 to 12, including that piece there. And what we can do is we can just go into the individual pieces so you can see them a little bit better. All right, so that's fine. The 3D is always a lot easier to see. And when you look at this, when you see the green spaces,
mm-hmm.
the kind of like the lime green. That's poured-in-place surfacing, and that's made for the pieces that are inclusive. For kids that may be handicapped, may have wheelchairs or walkers and whatnot. And what you're looking at right now. Do you want me to go over all the individual pieces
yes,
and the components
please.
And everything? So if we start at the bottom, we've got down here is what's called a cozy dome. It's a nice piece for kids who are more on the spectrum that need kind of a timeout. But it's also a great climbing piece, which accommodates probably, you know, 5 to 12 kids at a time. You've got little toddler swings here for them that's far away from the big kid swings, so the kids kind of know the big kids stay over there, little kids over here. This is what is called our WeVo system. And the person who started the manufacturing company his theory is that play should be at 360 degrees in all different directions. So with this piece, you can see the kids can, cognitively, they have to kind of think of how they're going to play and where they're going to play on it, but they can kind of go in every direction when they're on that piece, which is kind of unique and cool. This one right here is the Resoft, which is a really great inclusive piece. You can get kids that have very low tone can wheel up to it and actually transfer into the seats. And it's kind of like a seesaw, but it's not where you get on one side and it falls down. It's spring-loaded, so they do get the action without any danger. And the kids can also sit in the middle, which is real nice.
Does it require two people to be operated?
Nope, you can have one person on it, and it can go. Mm-hmm. And every one of these pieces are also big enough, strong enough for adults to get on.
Mm-hmm.
We go to the factory, and we test all of these out, and we've got big people that get on them and play with them, and they're made for, there's really no weight limit on the majority of these pieces. These right here are play panels. Those are great for kids on the spectrum as well, and other kids as well love playing with them. And there's different types of play panels that play music or have colors or spin. And we put that into the port and place area because it's very popular with kids that are in wheelchairs and whatnot.
And I think there's another view from the other direction.
Yep, that's a view from another direction. And a lot of times we like to put benches in the air. You'll see that throughout the benches. Obviously, the majority of times when kids do come to the playgrounds, it's the adult caregiver that brings them, mm-hmm. usually an elderly adult. And if they don't have a place to sit, if they don't have a place for shade, they usually don't stay that long. And that's why we like to incorporate benches in different areas, especially where they can have sight lines as well. And that's the nice thing about this piece, too, is there's no place for a kid to hide, and you can always see where they are, which is nice. And then Lynn, our designer, threw in this is a saddle spinner. It's a spinning piece where a kid can sit on it and just kind of spins and spins. And another little rocker where kids can go on.
And you'll see these images. Mentioned shade. You know, it's not showing any trees or anything around it, but we certainly can have that. And it's also not showing any fencing. And we did talk about that we will have most likely some kind of barricade so that people can feel like their kids won't run off into the woods.
So this is the 5 to 12 year old area for kids that are a little bit older, and that's the central piece is the main structure. As you can see, you've got a walkway that comes in. And right into a ramp that comes into what's called a sway fun. And the sway fun is you can accommodate about 2 or 3 wheelchairs in there with other kids as well, and it rocks back and forth, which is kind of nice. And then you've got the wheelchair can come and go in here as well, and you've got some play panels that are up there and a roller slide that comes down. And the roller slide, I don't know if you've seen them, they're individual little rollers. The kids go down, have a good time, fun time with it, and they're anti-static. So kids who have ear implants, audio implants, they're anti-static, so they don't discharge, which is nice. And then this is what's nice about it, and we call it an inclusive playground, is this is a lot more challenging. So kids that, you know, are good there with their siblings that do not have any impairments and really want to be challenged, they've got an area for them to play as well, so they're not as bored. So it really, really includes everybody. And then some other climbing pieces here that she's included, which is kind of nice. You can probably go around this entire piece here without touching the ground, and kids really have a good time figuring out how to do it, and it's a little bit more challenging as well.
The material that's in the
the mauve or color, is that wood chip, or what are we talking about for there?
Yeah, that's engineered wood fiber, so it'd be wood chips. Okay. Usually it's about, so the system is about 14 inches deep, and it's a layer of fabric, 3 inches of compact stone, or small stone, then another layer of fabric, and then about 10 inches of wood fiber. And the wood fiber does have to be topped off every couple years, depending on how much wind and how much loss of wood fiber there is. And that's usually a nominal cost. It's not as expensive as when you originally put everything in.
So the wood fiber does meet the requirements for accessibility, but certainly the cord is easier to use. I'll put it that way because it's more resistant. Most of the playgrounds will balance using both because the poured rubber is so much more expensive than the fiber.
Yeah. We do a lot of hybrids where especially in the big playgrounds, instead of doing all the poured in place rubber for the whole entire, we like the little walkways and put it underneath the pieces of equipment that aren't poured inclusive or for kids that might have a little bit more difficult time transversing over the roof fiber.
And once we get the survey and the topo, the idea here is to minimize use of ramping like this to get up to the height of a platform, but use some sloping walkways. So depending how we grade this, we'll try to minimize these because this type is less costly than this type and can look kind of a little more natural, instead of really, really long ramps. So.
And then go back one. Okay. And then this right here is what they call an oodle swing. Another one where a kid can bring his wheelchair and kind of lay flat on it like Superman. You can probably get 4 or 5 kids on it at once. And that actually just got approved 1.5 or 2 years ago in New York State because they didn't have an impact test where if you had the weight on it and it would hit somebody, they weren't sure if it would be acceptable for New York State guidelines, but they've finally developed a test for it, and they said that the amount of kids that are on there with their weight, they can justify having that kind of swing, which is kind of neat.
So all the equipment that we're proposing here has to meet a New York State standard?
Yeah, they meet national standards as well as New York State standards.
And what agency regulates that standard?
You got ATSM standard and what's the other one, Lisa? There's two national standards. And
ANSI? Does ANSI do that?
Well, ANSI is one of them, but that's not more of the ADA guidelines, I guess. Everything is ADA compliant. And I can get that information for you. And that's one of the reasons why I'm the New York State contract is because we comply with all the standards that they're required.
So is there a state agency that will come and inspect this before we open it up?
We have an auditor that comes and inspects it. Sometimes schools will have their own, like a lot of BOCES have their own inspectors, and they'll have the inspectors come and inspect. But we have an auditor that gives a full report, and you get the full report, and that will cover you in case litigation happens.
Okay.
And he goes around and checks every nut and bolt.
and just to clarify, everything that you're showing us so far, because you had a proposal for a complete build-out, this is just what we're looking at for this construction season?
No, this is
the entire thing.
Okay.
Yeah. The phase one would include the 5 to 12 area, which is the older kids area, and the splash pad, which we don't we have not gone through yet.
Let's show the splash pad.
There's a splash pad, a simple splash pad with some sprinklers in there. And what Lynn did is she did an elevated seawall, so in the times when it's on, or even when it's not on, there's a place for adults and kids to sit on, which is nice. And according to what your plans are, it looks like the splash pad may have to be moved because it looks like it's kind of right in the middle of where your parking is right now.
And then these could be adjusted too, depending if they're still appropriate next to, you know, I picture the driveway as not constant traffic.
Right,
all
so
that
would have to be moved
but
to where the walkway is. Or near the back.
So, yeah, so there will be another point of exit and entry too for the
mm-hmm.
parking area.
Okay.
On the other side of the basketball courts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and once we have that, our designer can just go around what plans you guys have.
Mm-hmm.
So you just you really have anything to go on with this, so we just should put it in what we had already.
And the idea with the fitness equipment was to appeal to adults and older kids, you know, so it kind of gets the whole spectrum, you know.
And this is part of a different phase.
Yeah, that's I think that's in phase three.
What is this fitness equipment?
Do we have closer pictures of them? No. So, let's see. No, I'd have to look on the bigger one, see which ones there are. It looks like there's the sit-up machine. It looks like on the other side of the sit-up machine, I'm not sure what that is. I can't tell with the color that we rendered it in.
Mm-hmm.
And the fitness equipment can be changed as well. Let's see. The first one is
a pull up in a bar thing or something.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this picture right here.
Looks like you put everything with non moving parts in this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first one's more like a stretching one. The second one's like a different heights of pads where you jump up, jump down. The other one looks like a chest press, a sit-up machine, and then a dip and chin-up bar. And there's other equipment as well if you wanted to swap those out. And we can definitely get you the brochure with all of them. You guys can choose which ones you feel are more appropriate.
Now, the material that's underneath these pieces of equipment, that to me looks like that's going to be chipped wood as well.
Yeah, that's right now we have it as engineered wood fiber.
Yeah.
Certain pieces you can do asphalt underneath,
mm-hmm.
but any time that an adult or a child can get on top of a piece with height, they have to have protective surfacing underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
And then use the guidelines.
Now, I would think something like fitness equipment, you may want to consider for the future, for your, you know, if you're doing some master planning for your whole park, how that, because I would think a lot of people would like to run from one to the other and throughout the park, you know, as a bigger system. So, this might be the first three stations, and then in the future, you could always put others, in other parts of the park.
Yes, for fitness equipment, we've done it where we've done them in clusters, where we have two or three in one area, two or three in another. We've also done it where there's a walk-in path, maybe let's say a half a mile walking path, and there's different piece of equipment every 100 or 200 yards or so.
Yep.
So it all depends on what you guys like.
So this is the what currently is included in phase one, which I know looks small compared to looking at the whole thing, but the spray park and the 5-12.
Yep, the main structure for 5-12.
That's a combination of the universal section of. Is there another piece behind the main structure that was that more advanced section? Jump back a page.
Yeah.
Just like one more. Right there. So. That
would be the walkway,
uh-huh.
And then this is the walkway we're talking about revising. It would be this piece, right?
All right. So it's not the extension piece.
I think this is included too, is that right?
There's two clusters. No, I'll have to verify whether this piece, whether it's these two.
So it would be the inclusive piece.
Okay.
So it'd be the piece on the left. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that piece right there. Mm-hmm.
And then you would do the 2 to 5 year old pie in the next phase, and then it's in the next phase.
On this inclusive piece, obviously it's wheelchair accessible to a point. You can get 4 to 5 wheelchairs up there in that little, like,
yep.
Sway bridge?
Yep.
Is that what you call it?
Sway fun, yeah.
Sway fun.
Yep.
Is there a swing or anything like that that's involved with this? And, you know, so, my next question is, so you can get a wheelchair coming into, like, another platform of that, to the top of where the slide is. It's a roller slide.
Yep.
But the wheelchair is not going to go down there. So the wheelchair basically is kind of limited to that upper platform?
Yes, those two. Well, you're right. It wouldn't be able to, the wheelchair will not be able to go down. It would have to be either pushed back down the other way.
Yeah, okay.
Do you have any, like, a catalog picture of what it actually looks at for scale?
Yep, we've got catalog pictures of everything. And I can actually send Lisa PDF pictures of everything so you can have individual pictures of the components.
And I know one thing we had talked about early on is I know your prior design had the universal the swing as a key kind of feature, focal point. This we're trying to balance because that's such an expensive tight piece and has a limited number of children that could play on it at one time. So what the idea is here is we have a lot more swinging type features that more kids can participate at one time. And there's different actions related to that piece or balancing those. The other thing I do want to mention is one of the reasons, you know, we're trying to choose a piece that's substantially sized as opposed to a bunch of smaller pieces is the first phase, and then the spray park does take a big hunk of dollars. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. You're kind of getting your mm-hmm. two big things in first.
Yep.
Is the idea, because you know the spray park has a lot of components nobody ever sees that mm-hmm. cost a lot of money, like getting the water to it and disposing of the water. So, but I think this will be really exciting, and the way, and like we said, we're going to adjust this for the new direction of flow. But the idea is it's not separate from the playground; it's part of it, and that. The idea is it is a paved area that can be used when the water's not on, potentially for other functions, especially with the seat walls. So.
How many phases are there in your proposed?
Three. Yeah.
And in phase one, do you lay out the whole footprint and then put it down, or does the footprint grow as you add the other? No, I say the footprint, you know, the bigger area where the...
We usually let it grow. We don't like to excavate and put down surfacing and just have empty space. Because
mm-hmm.
A lot of times, often, we get new pieces of equipment that are, like the manufacturer comes out with new pieces, or the committee decides to go in a different direction, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And so we switch things up around. And sometimes we just stick with the three phases or the two phases and as is, which is fine. Yeah. But if we excavate it, then we change it around and
understood.
Becomes kind of an issue.
I was just more curious of planned approach.
Yeah.
Right.
So you build this kind of center part, and then you'd build, you know, that kind of piece and that piece with those. So as I mentioned, we haven't gone into detailed cost estimating because we wanted to get some feedback initially from this in case we were totally in the wrong direction and, for instance, adding, you know, doing the parking adjusted slightly. But we have done some checking to make sure what we think will fit in phase one does. And so that's where we're at with the costs. And certainly as we move to the next step with a final concept, we would fine-tune those costs to make sure we're right there. I don't know if you want to give like some feedback on the design, or if you want to talk about some of the pieces and how we categorize them for construction.
Did you bring those pieces, like actual pictures of the pieces too?
No, I didn't. So when you get those to you.
Yeah.
So
do we still have the books in there, the books from these guys?
Yeah. Isn't it?
Go back to an overview of this.
We do.
Would these be in the books you gave us?
They'd be in the books. I mean, you can look. We can definitely look through them if you like. We can send out individual pictures so you have just the ones in the back of it too.
This is essentially what you have for the walkway coming up, Splash Park, right? In my mind, I would have thought that this would be closer to here, and maybe this would be back over in this area, maybe closer to the back of the pavilion.
The spray park?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think...
Because there's two pavilions out there in that general area.
Yep.
And I would have thought that this splash park might be closer to, like, the backside of one pavilion, or actually, backside of both those pavilions.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you... I would strongly encourage you, after this meeting, to pull into our park. Take a look at the cleared. I don't know if you've been, because you said
June.
Been.
Yeah, June was when I was there. Yeah.
So they're still wrapping up toward the end of June when the students were coming out of there, and you will see that there's a significant amount of area, as John's referencing, between the backside of both of those pavilions, and I think that's where we wanted to have initial phase focused. Right?
Yes.
Yes.
That was my thought.
Yeah. We can do that.
Yeah. So I think that'll make it a lot easier to visualize where we want to start.
Okay.
And so there's a couple things here. First of all, I'm very pleased with what you presented, that it encompasses a wide range of abilities. That was one of our key goals when we wanted to move forward with this project. The second part is you do have the three-phase build-out or complete build-out. It is a very expensive endeavor just with phase one. And so the other goal we have as a town is that upon completion of phase one, we're hoping that we will be able to leverage additional funding that'll get us into phase two and phase three,
mm-hmm.
Because we're talking about over $500,000 or more, mm-hmm. which is a lot of money for recreation.
Sure
when
is.
We have a lot of competing interests for all kinds of things at our park. So, and if you look at what was done by the BOCES students, we have enormous potential for expansion as the need grows and we find that the use increases down there too. So I think your plan can work into that, but I think it's critical that you take a look at where you're starting from. I think you'll be able to visualize a lot easier.
Yeah, it would be good for me to take some pictures and send them back to the designer too.
Exactly.
So she knows. Because Google Earth, like I said.
So we have two pavilions down there. We also have the restroom, which is up the hill a little bit. And I think you need to know where that is because we are going to want to make sure.
I know this arrow is very hard to see. So this is the drive, and the pavilion's there.
Mm-hmm.
The other pavilion, let's see, it's right
no
over here.
There's no restroom at the pavilion, correct?
Not
no,
at the pavilion.
It's over here the by the bathroom.
Right.
Oh, right here.
Here. So the bathroom has to be a certain distance from the splash pad. So
and there's another bathroom right there.
That's a requirement?
The requirement, yeah.
So the splash pad is going up in the woods.
So the bathroom is here, the splash pad. Yeah, you'll see it when you go in there. It's a green building.
Do you know what that distance is?
I'm not. I know it's close. It's not, but I'm not sure the exact number.
Is it because if they're too far away, kids will just
yes, correct.
And not use the... Yeah.
Okay.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, what about... Well, I guess this one's still closer than this one.
Oh, yeah. That one is farther than it looks.
Yeah.
And it's up a hill. But
well, this other one's up a hill, too, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Now, just out of curiosity, do you guys have cameras and everything in there for protection, security at all?
Nope.
Not yet. Not at this stage.
Yeah, this one thing that we talk about is and I hate bringing this topic up.
I guess someone slips and falls.
Pedophiles love splash pads and pools. That's the number one spot that they go. So a lot of times what they'll do is they'll put cameras up that don't even work just to have the cameras up.
Oh, ours are going to work.
Yeah. So that's... Just something to bring up.
So have towns hired kind of an overseer to kind of be there during the day to keep an eye on that those kind of things? Like
every town
patterns
different.
Of people, like this guy's here with no kids.
I know we talk about that when we do presentations to like the LA group and when our international presenters they have to talk about that. And they do say that sometimes there'll be an attendant there that makes sure that everyone comes through is either a town member or they know who they are, or they just book cameras.
He's totally flipped my mind on this whole thing. I mean, we're gonna have it, but like, oh my god,
it has
like,
to be thought.
You gotta go change in the bathroom, or you gotta go.
You got a summer job.
No, yeah, to not work. All right,
just. The I know you may not have the number, and I wouldn't hold you to it since an estimate, but
well,
how much of the 220 is the
splash
water?
I haven't tied down there. Right. It's part of this multiple times a day.
50.
Looking at, there's no way this that's
and that's real rough because we didn't do the we kind of were overly conservative with the cost for excavating the storage area, you know, the basin that the water's going to pump into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at this point, we don't have a volume for that yet. So we erred on the side of being high with that. I think in some of our earlier estimates, we had like 35 for the spray part, but I think it's going to be more like 50.
I think it's important that is part of phase one.
Yeah. Oh, I do have one question. So when we were over in this area with the playground, I know you have a water line here. Does the water line go all the way up that road?
It comes up.
Okay, good. So we can connect in. Okay.
Yes.
That's what I thought. Right.
So are you going to require additional excavation on the part of the town, or at this stage... Who handles it?
Well, that's kind of the next thing is to, you know, once we get, you know, we're going to have an updated concept for you guys based on what we talked about here. Once that's accepted, we need to know if there's work like excavating the basin that the town can do.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to do any bid documents for that. We can do drawings that your guys can work off of. Or if there's other pieces, I don't know, the walkways,
the
whatever.
Driveway.
And then what work can fall, because any work that, I'm going to encourage you to, whatever work can fall under Parkitects, you don't have to pay us to do construction documents for bidding, and you have a faster track, potentially, because you don't go out to bid. So all those things that can fall under them, I think is a benefit, you know, and it's just maybe those pieces that, like you said, the town can do, or if you had a resident that wanted to donate doing the fencing, say, and you weren't going to go out to bid with that, they were going to donate that service, you know, we would pull that out. So I think maybe on the next step, unless you have some key ideas like that, we would make those decisions so that we know what you need to move it ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, I guess you'll have to let us know based on where we're going with phase one, what you need for excavation, so we can make those decisions.
Correct. And the idea is kind of if you know, I'm thinking that basin, you know, if now we're kind of talking about shifting over this way, that the basin would be back in here. You know, you want to put it somewhere that's not too far away so you don't have too much piping, but you don't want it to be in the way for phase five.
Right.
And have that be a smart location. But we probably can use what's excavated there. You can put it in here to build up, you know, some landform so this isn't, you know, just a flat pancake. Because that can be more interesting if you have some landforms around the playground.
Okay.
Are you going to be able to go get eyes on it tonight and get some pictures?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that'll really...
Don't get hurricanes again.
Yeah. Oh, we're open during rain and some thunder and lightning.
And on our end, too, if you've got the town or somebody that's donating their time and they can do the site preparation or they're willing to do, put down the stone and the wood fiber, that saves a lot of costs as well. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, something that we don't lead you blind to it. We'll even come out, arc it out for you, let you know the depths, everything like that. And that's another cost saver.
And, of course, you've done the prep of the tree removal.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. So... that's a cut right there. That
maybe grab your measurement to the bathroom while you're there.
Yep,
got
my tapes in the car, so.
I know we're not there yet, but I was having, it's all pine down there, and I would feel that none of this equipment should be under those trees. The sand drips off those things.
We moved a lot of pines, so there's plenty of room to get it away from the pines now. We actually excavated and pulled out enough trees so that if the ones that are left there start to fall, they're not going to reach where we're putting them.
I just know how that sap is terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, right around now, it's starting to drip like icing over everything underneath it. So that's not good.
Mm-hmm. Those are also the trees that are going to fall first.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What else do you need from me?
So we are thinking, you know, we can still make construction beginning of October on pieces that don't have to go out to bid, you know, which the play equipment we're talking about, not, you know.
If you do national contract, you could also, so our manufacturer landscape structures would hold the contract. There's a lot of types of non-playground equipment that can be under the contract as well that doesn't have to go out to bid.
Yeah, we just want to make sure that there's a contract in place so that we're not paying more money for something next year that we had planned to get in this year. We just want to make sure that happens this year.
So we can find some local contractors that might be willing to donate their time and equipment to come in and do some more excavating for us, is what you're saying, more than we can do on that end.
Yeah.
It's a donated thing from them.
Right.
That would save us a lot more money.
That would save money, yes, absolutely.
And we have access to both. These are coming back. You know, if we need to move some more trees because of concerns over,
school starts trees this week, so those guys will be down here. I mean, they'll be back.
I mean, I have another project for them, but I can bring them back.
That's part of the reason we only contracted for our LA group through the concept, because not knowing what you would need.
Right.
And that way, if you need just a drawing that's a little more detailed for someone to excavate, we can do that. Or if you do find you have a piece for some reason you have to bid out, so it's not sounding like you do, you know, then we could tell you what it would be for construction drawings. But that way, the most money goes into the playground as opposed to design fees, you know.
That's what we want.
Yeah.
So specific action items on our side doesn't sound like there's anything.
It's all on us.
looking at the construction start here, with you know, on the bottom part, when you're talking about the splash pad, if you do start in October, you're basically putting it in, shutting it down, and then reopening in the spring,
which
it might make more sense to put it first thing in the spring. But it can be done either way. We've done it both ways.
Okay.
First thing in the spring, like April, May?
April.
February, March?
Yeah. Depends.
So the frost.
The amount of snow.
Yeah.
you want kids down there after school when it's hot, and that, you know, that's what we're going to want.
So to hone this in on your end, do you need us to, like, look at the equipment tonight and pick out, make sure we're all on board with what you've suggested? Is that?
Well, I think once we get some images, we'll get images of just the, or...
Let's just look at phase one real quick. Look, we hit the lights?
Sure. Yeah.
What was the first area called?
The phase, the... Which one?
Yeah, the one you're putting in phase one, the universal main feature.
The 5 to 12.
Yeah, can you just pop that open in the book for us? And
so that's, it's more custom, so you might not see all those pieces on there, like the sway.
So it's kind of a combination of pieces?
Yeah.
I don't need this, am I?
Well, I think it would be helpful to us, like, things moving forward, if we knew what we're...
Well, I mean, you've got the ramps. It looks like you've got an ozone climber on 124. You go to, am I the only one with the book here?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
124 ozone climber. What's
can
the
we
next
share
one?
That with that?
I was going to look at the QS, the core sheet, so I can see exactly what's in there.
I know a computer guy.
We can't.
He helped me already today.
We can't do that.
Got like 6 minutes, 7 minutes. I can try.
How about you send us the PDFs? Is that
yeah?
Okay?
One of
yeah,
them
send
us
the PDFs.
Send you the PDFs. We'll send it to you tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that way you'll have. You can take a look at the pictures themselves. You don't have to flip through the books or anything.
Okay.
And
can you label? Send us on the PDF a label the.
Phase two,
phase three.
Yep. Yeah,
and where, like, whatever the code name is for that piece and where it's located on the proposal for phase one.
Okay, you can do that. Yep. Yeah, because it's play panels, it's ramps, it's a sway fun, and then the splash pad. So, yeah, one piece we didn't talk about that's in here is the Wego round. If you look at the overall 3D, and you see that piece that's kind of to the left of the splash pad and north of the walkway.
Mm-hmm.
That's a piece where the 2-3 wheelchairs can go in there because you can put one bench or two benches in depending on what you want. And there's a center piece and the kids spin. And just kind of a really neat inclusive piece.
Yeah.
And then if you look kind of like the page right after the overall 3D, there's a couple of pages like this. So we can send that to you. Every piece of that is labeled, so that all those pieces are in the book as well.
Okay. So we just can't read them?
Yeah, so what we can do is we can give you a bigger blow-up of that as well.
Okay.
So along with the PDF, so you'll kind of have, okay, this is this piece, but where is it? And you can just kind of locate it on these as well.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think it's possible to get a revised plan? I'm thinking I want to get it right to you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we can either meet again or, you know, if you guys, you know, we can send it so that you guys can look at it too.
Well, I think you get those PDFs to us. We'll provide feedback
on the equipment itself.
Yep.
Right.
And,
yep, so let's get the feedback first, and then and then redesign if needed.
Yep, and then we'll probably need at least a brief meeting where we all sign off on giving you the green light to move forward.
Okay.
Okay.
So is the splash pad that's proposed here right now, is that more one of the most basic type of splash pads that are out there?
It's pretty basic. So she just did a circular design and added, was it six spray features?
Okay.
Ground features.
Okay.
So nothing is elevated, nothing can be elevated.
How is the water activated when somebody steps on it?
Yep. So there's a ballard that you can press, or there's a foot ballard.
Mm-hmm.
You like the foot ones better for some reason?
No, not necessarily. I'm just.
Right.
They like my splash pads.
How do I like them?
Yeah.
I think.
And there's a sequencer where you can kind of sequence. You can say this goes on for 10 seconds and this one goes on for 10 seconds, 20 seconds. Or you can just have everything go on at once or everything go off at once.
Can you do it with the music?
I don't know.
Colored lights?
We do have the LED lights. I think you can incorporate though.
I guess the reason I asked that question was to know, like, I know we want a splash pad, but... and that's probably one of the more expensive things, right, for phase one,
mm-hmm.
is the splash pad and all the stuff we can't see. But if this is one of the more basic ones, then it makes sense. But, I mean, if there was anything down a little bit, I mean, I think, again, we want to put a nice product out there. We don't want to put just anything or just the basic, but if this is still more basic but as nice as it is, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, sounds like there's a little bit of a cushion in there if we're able to reduce costs elsewhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
You might be able to elevate it to a little bit higher level.
Right.
And I think having this basic splash pad kind of fits in with the scale of it.
Right.
And because the spray pad in the winter with a lot of features like Gavin Park looks like a bunch of features nobody's using. You know, there's no use of it in the winter.
Right.
Whereas potentially, you know, I've seen some other pictures where maybe they're stepping down to it, and they use it as like a little amphitheater in the winter.
Right.
You know, the kids can use it. So there's a little more flexibility. The simpler you are, it gives you that option. But yeah, if somebody's expecting something with lots of spinning water, they also use more water. You know, so it's kind of a balance.
Something simple, something basic, something that can't be broken.
Right. I agree with the idea there.
Yeah.
Gavin Parks is probably $500,000-$600,000.
Just a spray part?
Yeah, just a spray part.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a 50.
Yeah.
So we're getting hosed with a nozzle.
Six hoses with nozzles.
That's good names.
And I have to say,
I think your point of a balance, just my opinion, but
trends
is a balance of size and proportion to the rest of the stuff we're putting in. It looks like it's the right thing, and the fact that you can use it for other uses.
Right, And I have to say, when my son was younger, he loved the one at Eastside Rack, which is just one in the middle. You know, hit that button, the kids like line up, like it's your turn. You get to hit the button, you know. You know, he had a great time.
Yeah,
all right. Go ahead.
That's it.
Okay.
Anybody else have anything? You are?
No.
You good?
I'm good for now, yeah.
All right. So, appreciate you meeting with us this evening. Hopefully, you have a better sense of where we're headed. And I think when you go to the park tonight on your way out, that'll be very helpful.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we always do site visits before.
Yeah.
Just this time we didn't.
Only because I think a lot's happened since probably your first picture was done.
Okay.
For clarity.
Very close to you, too, by the way. You just gotta take a left. Take a right.
Okay.
It's not very far away.
Super.
Yeah,
and I will.